to another episode of Why I Hate This Movie. I'm your host, Derek Rios, and with always my co-host and heterosexual life mate, Danny Newton. How are you doing today, Danny?
I'm pretty good, Derek. How are you?
I'm fine. Today we're talking about Wild Wild West.
Yes.
This is a remake of an old TV show slash movie slash everything. I don't know. It's just an old...
This was an ongoing like Western series back in the 60s.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Way before our time.
Yeah, way before.
So, and this is starring the slap champion himself, Will Smith.
There's actually a lot of good actors in this. You got Will Smith. You got Selma Hayek in it for kind of no reason.
She's eye candy.
Yeah, but... I mean, she's very irrelevant. Who was Will Smith starring opposite of in this?
Or that was Kevin Klein.
Yeah, Kevin Klein. Had a lot of good talent to be not good.
I don't know. It's a quirky, steampunk-esque, like, Wild Wild West show.
There's only one condition that this I could see this movie have been good in. And that's if it was trying to be a comic book movie.
Mm-hmm.
Because the entire time I was watching it, I was thinking to myself, like... I need to look this up. I could have swore this was a show, not a comic book.
Mm-hmm.
Because this felt like a 90s comic book movie to me.
It did kind of feel... It had a bunch of jump cuts, like, okay, jumps to the next scene.
Yeah.
And that this one's over. That's it.
Yeah,
that,
like a page turn.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. It had a bunch of that in it. Which this... what was it? This director also directed Men in Black?
I believe so.
It had that visual aesthetic. I can't quite put my finger on it. But I'm pretty sure the director in this also directed Men in Black and a couple of other things. You know, Men in Black was also another movie that didn't look like other movies from this time.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I mean? So, I mean, visually, I thought the movie looked really good.
Yeah, like all the steampunk stuff actually looked fairly good.
Yeah.
A lot of the visuals and set scenes were clean.
Yeah.
I enjoyed the villains very much. I thought all the villains actually did really well. And I thought the acting was fine. It was just it's a little over the top and corny, but I didn't hate this movie.
Man, I did.
I enjoyed it as a child, and I didn't hate it watching it back again. It was perfectly fine.
There's just so much stuff in it that's kind of just it's like they wanted to do Will Smith as the comedic actor,
mm-hmm.
versus the straight man, right? That's also kind of why I compare it to Men in Black, because that's what that was. Is the straight-laced actor versus the comedic actor.
Mm-hmm.
I feel like Tommy Lee Jones and Will Smith did a better job in that.
Yeah.
This wanted to have the same acting feel to it. They didn't know who the straight man was. You know what I mean?
Well, they're both kind of goofy and quirky, and I think that's the whole point, right?
I guess.
I mean, Will Smith was more the stern action hero, going to... you know, bust in and blast it up. And then Artemis Gordon was the, I should say Kevin Klein. He played the scientist, inventor type, right?
It's like they wanted their characters to also learn lessons from each other, and they never did.
Well, it's more like they support each other.
Yeah, but they really never really did.
No, they just kind of do their own thing, and then it works out in the end.
Yeah. Yeah, because there's so many times where you're just like, oh, this is where Will Smith's character learns some of the faults of his ways and learns a thing from his counterpart. And then there's times where like, oh, this is where Gordon is supposed to learn some stuff from Will Smith's character and like, you know, man up a little bit, mm-hmm. right? They didn't. They didn't grow as characters. Do you feel like they grew as characters?
Yeah. I mean, in the end, they still had each other, right?
I guess. I don't know.
I don't know. They grew as friends. They grew to work well together.
I suppose.
This takes place in 1869?
It's still... No, it's 69. Still in the 60s, yeah.
1869. So this is the first year Grant took office.
Yeah, this is right on the heels of the Civil War.
Yeah, right after the Civil War, he took office. The South just lost.
Mm-hmm.
And the whole plot is one of the Southern generals, a.k.a.
McGrath.
Well, it is Dr. Lovelace.
Well, they don't know that yet.
Yeah. So it makes you think that, okay, they're chasing this big baddie, Bloodbath McGrath.
Yes.
Which is a fantastic name.
Yeah, of course.
They're supposed to be trying to just pretty much arrest him. The whole plot is the president got threatened, right? Or is this to be, they're just trying to stop them taking over the...
Yeah, he's essentially a terrorist.
Yeah, essentially a terrorist. Stop him from, he's wanting to take back over the country, right?
Right.
But we find out Dr. Loveless is behind all that, and he's just like, he's been kidnapping all these scientists and having them build contraptions and stuff.
The contraptions don't really make sense. The use of magnets in this film is breathtaking.
So we first see the magnet right away.
Yes.
The opening scene is one of the scientists. They put him this magnetic collar as a super magnet on around his neck.
Mm-hmm.
And they shoot a blade out. They spin a blade and shoot it out, and it follows it until it chops his head off, right?
Right.
But yeah, I kind of take it as, okay, the physics work with this blade as pretty much the same as like Captain America's shield, where it just defies all logic and physics.
This is how Insane Clown Posse thinks magnets work.
Yeah.
Yes. It's fucking stupid. It's so fucking stupid.
I mean, all right, it's silly, but it's a neat concept if, you know.
There's also...
If you don't apply science.
There's also the scene later in the film where they're both collared up,
mm-hmm.
and they outrun their blades. And when their blades that are chasing each other collide, they explode.
Mm-hmm. That's just because they're spinning so fast.
Okay. All right.
They cut through anything. And yeah, you just dodge, right? And you think it would just go past you and like hit the ground or something.
Right.
But they spin around and go back up and come back for another. You know, it's the magnetism, bro.
The more you talk about this movie, the more I lose respect for you as a human being.
I'm fine with that. The scientist also is yelling out random words like, he's a madman, a giant spider. That way, you know, we can not be too surprised later on when a giant mechanical spider.
We didn't have to have him yell that, though.
No.
When he pulls the blade out of his fucking head collar thing, it's got a giant spider on the blade.
Well,
everything in here is spider themed. We could have fucking figured that out on our own.
Well, Dr. Loveless, he obviously stole the Spider-Man symbol.
The blades have spiders on them.
Mm-hmm.
When he sends the assassination cake to General Grant, it has spiders in it.
Bloodbath McGrath, he picks the blade back up. So yeah, the blade's not there.
Well, I understand, but when he's holding the blade, you can clearly see a spider on it.
Yeah.
Like the cake had spiders in it. Whenever Loveless was doing his coming out party, it was spider web themed.
Mm-hmm.
There's the tarantula in the desert they make reference to. There's so much. We get it. We get it. The giant thing at the end is going to be a spider.
Mm-hmm.
We're not.
What?
Oh, my God.
Hey, man.
Oh, fucking that's mind blown.
Good foreshadowing, okay?
That is. There's a difference between foreshadowing and beating a dead horse. I'm just saying, with all those other clues, we didn't need this guy also yelling, spider monster thing.
Giant spider.
Giant spider. Who cares? He's dead.
His memory will live on, though.
No,
because they shine a flashlight through his head and reveal the last thing he saw. This is science, Danny. If I chopped your head off and then put a flashlight in the back of your eyeballs, it's going to show me chopping your head off as the last thing that you saw.
No, it won't.
Burns into your retinas, okay?
That dude was laying there dead a long time before he come and got that saw blade back.
Yeah, probably. Maybe.
That was him holding that saw blade was not the last thing that they saw that guy saw. It just wasn't.
You know, it takes a long time. Even if I sever your head, it takes a little bit before, you know, your brain to realize that you're dead.
They use trains like they're sports cars or something,
mm-hmm.
right? There's literally a train chase in this movie.
Yeah.
When the chasing train has a cannon on the front of it.
Mm-hmm.
Trains go where the fucking tracks go.
Yeah.
There's no way they can miss the shot with cannon. There's just no fucking way.
Okay.
No way at all.
Yeah, fair enough.
Like,
I mean, tracks curve. Like, you know, they're still moving fast.
If you rewatch that, it literally goes from them being on straight tracks to adding a curve right there so that it will miss.
Okay.
There's no curves or anything in the shot before.
I mean, they just hadn't gotten there yet. They're traveling, bro.
Oh, my God. This is the hill you want to die on? This is the movie? This is the one? Yeah, this is it. Okay. Go ahead.
This movie's not that bad.
Tell me how much you love it.
Dude, the first 5 minutes, to see Will Smith's balls and ass and soft penis. Like, I mean, this is a PG-13 movie, okay?
Yeah.
Our first introduction to Will, Mr. West, which, you know, as a child, when I watched this, I never put two and two together that his last name was West and the movie's called Wild Wild West. So he's making out in a water tower with this really hot chick. And he's also waiting for some of McGrath's boys to show up. And then he has a little skerfuffle with them after they knock over his tower. And he falls out naked and stands up. And we get this nice little camera angle of underneath, between his legs, right? As he stands up, you can see his hairy nuts.
Yeah.
And then, also going on the other side of town is there's a whorehouse. You had Artemis in there disguised as a woman.
Mm-hmm.
Trying to get close to Bloodbath McGrath, who's setting up a deal with Loveless's crew for guns and ammo and stuff. And he's trading them scientists. So he's selling, you know, the kidnapped scientists for them.
The character design of McGrath is the first time I thought, oh, maybe this is a comic book movie.
Mm-hmm.
Because his character design was literally like something I would have expected to have seen in like Jonah Hex.
Oh, yeah.
100%. I went into this thinking, oh, they're trying to be a comic book movie.
I don't think Bloodbath McGrath was a bad person.
Go on. Tell me how the South had a point.
No. I just... Slavery aside... This is just a general.
Yes.
Fought in a war. Uh-huh. And he got the whole bloodbath where he butchered this town pinned onto him by Loveless, who's the actual, you know, his machine is the one that actually murdered all these people, right?
Yeah.
It was obviously some type of African American community, right?
Yes.
And, but he never did that. I mean, yeah, he was a general, fought for the South, but. I mean, as a soldier in a war, really, like, responsible for what, you know, like, everything that they did? Like,
I understand. That's,
yeah.
I understand.
These are just good old Southern boys.
I get it. It's heritage, not hate. I understand, mm-hmm. Derek. Mm-hmm. I don't think Gerald McGrath is bad. We only watched a fucking murder somebody in the opening scene of this movie.
That, do you know that guy disrespected his woman? Okay.
Oh, Jesus.
And there's rules in the South. This is the 1800s.
I'm talking about the South. Very opening panel of this movie when he kills the fucking scientist with the saw blade.
He didn't do that. He just retrieves the saw blade. That's obviously not his machine. That's Loveless's machine.
So,
just because he shoots a, you know, random guy, that was the way the Wild Wild West was. Okay.
It's Loveless's machine. That's like saying that, you know, that's like saying Browning is responsible for everybody I shoot with one of their guns.
Mm-hmm.
I'm not a bad guy. Browning's a bad guy for making the gun.
Do you think Bloodbath is the one operating that machine?
Maybe.
I don't think he is.
I mean, you've seen the rest of his henchmen and stuff like that.
Mm-hmm.
They operate these machines. You're telling me this guy can't?
Were they?
Yes.
Well, they were waiting for Loveless. They were just sitting around with normal cannons and shit.
Well, look at the spider boss guy.
Yeah.
Yeah. So whenever the spider tank's rolling around, all those guys down below were operating that machine.
But that's all Loveless's men.
Yeah, I know. But McGrath was one of Loveless's men.
Okay.
it's entirely plausible that he also knows how to use the saw blade spinny thrower thingy.
Whatever, still.
Okay.
So the end of that scene, this is pretty much the first scene. They're in the bar, whatever. The Will Smith, you know, busts in. Actually, he fights with some of McGrath's men, and then the horses take off, and he jumps on the carriage, and instead of just stopping it, because I don't know how horses work, but normally if you just, you know, control them and tell them to stop.
The reins had done fallen through and were dragging the ground. So he opted to try to jump down the line of horses to the lead horses. Mm-hmm. Because if you can stop the lead horses, then the other ones will follow suit and stop.
Okay.
Yeah.
That makes more sense to me. Because I didn't see the reins fall.
Yeah.
Is there no way to pick the reins up? Like, surely they would have got stuck on one of the...
I don't know. They're just dragging the ground right there.
On one of the trees or whatever, the hall trees.
They just wanted Will Smith to look cool.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Mission accomplished.
Sure.
So, of course, this carriage is carrying nitro, is what you call it, which is nitroglycerin. And then after they chase McGrath off, Loveless shows up. And he pretty much pushes the cart down the hill into the building and explodes. And instead of just having something like, oh, you see them leave the crash, it just jump cuts.
Yeah.
It's like, okay, scene over.
But this wasn't even the plan.
No.
The nitro just happened to be there.
Mm-hmm.
This was not the plan.
No.
The plan was like an arms exchange. The nitro was going to be part of the arms exchange.
Mm-hmm.
And honestly, if the Confederates down on the waterfront had the nitro that was on the back of this horse and wagon, they probably would have destroyed that tank when it come up out of the water and started shooting them.
Mm-hmm.
Because they would have had explosives to destroy it with.
Yeah.
They wouldn't have got massacred.
But they didn't. And they blew up the building.
Yeah. They roll this wagon of nitro into the building and it exploded with nobody in it, thankfully. Mm-hmm. Whew. Dodged a bullet there.
Well, there's a bunch of prostitutes and people and Will Smith and Kevin Klein.
Yeah. The explosion shot, though, the building is completely empty.
Okay. But yeah. They were in it a second before that.
Yeah.
But it just cuts to them back in D.C.
Yes.
Oh, another thing about that scene was Loveless has a lip reader.
Yes.
Which I find they use it like a couple times in the movie, and she's just lip reading what they're saying, and she's supposed to be Russian or something, or German.
So here's what I was thinking with like the lip reader,
mm-hmm.
and just monotonely repeating things.
Yep.
This movie came out the same year as Galaxy Quest.
Okay.
She felt like Sigourney Weaver's character just monotonely repeating the computer.
Yeah.
I feel like this joke was lifted.
I don't think they saw Galaxy Quest and be like, oh, we're going to steal that.
I don't know, man.
I don't know. She's supposed to be relaying information that he just finds out seconds later from his man, his Indian henchman, right?
Yeah.
I'm sorry. Native American henchman.
Yes.
And it was all pointless. Every time, every scene where she's just lip reading, it's something clearly obvious that he should already know. Like, he should already know who West is and probably who the marshal is.
He does already know who West is.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And he should probably know who the marshal is. So
yeah, probably.
Her whole character seems pretty
pointless.
Yeah.
Yeah. A lot of characters in this seem pretty pointless.
Well, you got to have pretty girls in here for some reason, right?
Well, I mean, duh, but seriously, these characters seem pointless.
Yeah.
Like,
do you think Artemis was an attractive woman?
No.
No?
Not at all. Nowhere close. I mean, when you look at Artemis versus like Adam Sandler as a woman, though, he is a lot prettier than Adam Sandler.
Whoa. They're pretty close.
Yeah.
They're both pretty hot. I think he was giving Selma a run for her money.
But no. Oh, my God. And the fucking cross-dressing thing. Jesus Christ.
What are you talking about? The breast scene?
It's not that. Okay. I have no problem with that. I mean, yeah. Did I laugh at the joke? No, not really. But am I going to shit on the joke being there? No, I'm not. So when Artemis does his cross-dressing scene, it kind of makes more sense. You know what I mean?
Mm-hmm.
When Will Smith does his cross-dressing scene, it makes absolutely no fucking sense whatsoever. Nobody would let this person into the goddamn, like, evil crew social going on here.
Whoa, bro. They got him a new girl, and they're surprising.
Bruh, loveless, okay? No, they did not. And they know that they did not. They bad guys aren't this stupid. Right? They're not. They're not. And this was, oh my God. When I watch this scene, I'm just like, this is beyond belief bad.
Mm-hmm.
And
it's not the best scene.
Then when I looked up the movie and started looking up stuff about it, they tried to get this scene taken out because even when they did test screenings,
mm-hmm.
when they were doing all their test screenings, this is where the audience completely disengaged.
Yeah.
Completely disengaged. So they tried to get this taken out. But the producer's like, no, we're leaving this in. It's great.
Dude, Will Smith is a girl prancing around. It's kind of good. No, the scene didn't make sense at all. And it was really forced.
Yes. Yeah, because they tried to get it removed.
Mm-hmm.
So,
because I like the rest of the scene. Like, minus Will Smith, the rest of the scene where, so this whole setup is, he's meeting with all these foreign dictators, right? And he's pretty much describing how they're going to break up the America.
Yeah.
And split it into different parts. And then he's going to take the Northwest. And France is getting the Louisiana Purchase back. And
yes,
Britain, yada, yada, Mexico. And then Spain gets Southeast, I think. We would be in Spain right now.
Yeah. I can't fault President Grant's logic through this whole fucking thing.
Mm-hmm.
I'm not signing your stupid fucking contract thing, guys. I mean, you might kill me, but there's a vice president for a fucking reason. And you know what? You've only got one giant spider monster thing. We'll eventually destroy it.
Yeah.
You know, this isn't going to work the way you want it to work. Your plan is dumb.
You think it would? You think they'd run out of munitions before they, you know, win?
Yeah.
There's no tanks back then.
No. I mean, the closest thing you get to tanks back then is you have your first use of ironclad ships in the Civil War.
They had some cannons, right? They had cannons.
But, you know, because of the use of ironclad ships during the Civil War, they were also coming up with ways to penetrate armor.
Mm-hmm.
So it's not like something like this could walk around the country indefinitely destroying things.
Yeah.
They would eventually take it down. And it looks very fucking flimsy, to be completely honest.
Yeah, I mean,
so
first of all, it's not going to move very fast.
Yes.
This thing's going to be really slow.
The more devastating weapons, the fucking tank that comes up out of the water that we never see again.
Well, it's part of the train, right?
Oh, that's right. It is part of his train.
It connects to the train and they disable the train during the chase scene.
Every time they do something that's just straight out of fucking Looney Tunes, it annoys the shit out of me. Whenever they put the fucking train up on stilts, so the good guy train goes past it and like, oh my God, where'd they go? We were right behind them. And then just fucking comes back down like, that's so stupid.
It's tech, bro. It's tech.
It's dumb.
Steampunk.
It's dumb. It takes so fucking long to stop a train. They wouldn't have time to do this for one.
Mm-hmm.
So bad. It's bad. Stop smiling at me. You know how bad this is.
Oh, that's fantastic.
Oh.
Chicka chicka wah wah wes.
God, man. So they had the opportunity to pay off things, right?
Hmm.
How'd you feel about the flying machine? So let me start by saying the flying machine is preferenced by something that James and Gordon see in the desert, which is a tarantula being attacked by a tarantula hawk.
Yeah.
Right. And, you know, Jim explains like, oh, you know, this is actually the most devastating, like, you know, bug in the desert because it'll stalk these tarantulas and land on their backs and completely kill them.
Mm-hmm.
And that gives Gordon the spark of, well, maybe we could use a flying machine. But he never has time to R&D a flying machine.
Well, yeah, here's well, so we see earlier he has a steam propelled bike.
Nitro propelled bike.
Real safe. Real safe.
Yeah. Yes. His bike is fueled by dynamite.
Yeah. And when the after the president gets captured,
mm-hmm.
and they failed the first time to save him, right?
Right.
Will's like, wait. Let's how about that flying machine? Let's try that idea. And he's like, okay, sure. And then from the time that the spider leaves, it has to be within like 1 hour. He just builds the fucking airplane.
Yeah. Like,
and this is still 89. I'm sorry. This is still 1869. This is 30 years before the Wright brothers invented the plane.
Yes.
Before they were the first people. Yeah. So they take a lot of liberties with some of the technologies in this.
There's something else too. When we were talking about the bike just then,
mm-hmm.
every time we see Gordon on a fucking horse after that scene, it makes no sense.
Mm-hmm.
He should be on a stupid fucking bike.
Well, I don't.
If he's going to use it once, he needs to keep using it.
It doesn't seem like it'd be very useful in a desert.
Honestly, it doesn't seem like it'd be very useful anywhere.
No.
But they roll it out through a desert to make the flying machine take off.
Yeah, that's
so
what
if they could do that, then he could just be riding it everywhere. He should just be riding it everywhere. It's if it's his character shtick, he should stick with it.
Are we even sure it's with them? I mean, it has to be with them, I guess.
Yeah, it has to be.
He puts it on the train somewhere?
Yeah. Yeah.
Which the train is just like full of, it's Q's headquarters, right? It's full of a bunch of like.
It's their mobile base. If you could think gadgets. Of anything that would be in their base, it's going to be in there. Weapons, firearms, explosives, just any kind of gadget whatsoever. Whatever the fuck he is designing, it's always in there.
Which they have eight balls. They have cue balls and pool balls that do.
Billiard balls.
Billiard balls, yeah. Okay. That's the word. They have billiard balls that do different things. Knock out gas. Which they wouldn't have got captured if Selma hadn't have hit the button.
So,
but maybe she was a double agent. Maybe she wanted to get captured.
That's what I was kind of hoping, is that she was tricking them.
Mm-hmm.
That would have given her character a reason to be there.
She was tricking them. She was honeypotting them the whole movie because she said, that's my dad. I got to go save my dad.
Yeah.
But then it's like, oh, that's actually my husband. Sorry, guys.
But I mean, like, giving her more of a reason to be there.
Yeah.
Like, she was supposed to be there so that when the time was right, she incapacitated him.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, definitely would have made more sense.
Yeah. 100% more sense. But no, she's just a fucking moron. That's what we got. She's just a goddamn
scared,
idiot.
Beautiful woman. Okay?
She is fucking retarded.
Well, you can't say.
Yeah,
that.
I can. She's dumb as fuck.
She's just not a scientist. Okay.
She doesn't have to be a scientist. Me and you aren't scientists. We're not fucking dumb as rails.
Well, you know. Maybe if you're going to get captured and then raped, you would rather be unconscious for it, too.
Oh, Jesus Christ. It's just so dumb. So painfully dumb.
So they go and save Grant.
Yeah.
And, well, they try to, and we get the whole dance scene, and then he takes off on the spider. And then we get the last scene where they build the flyer in a few minutes, and then they go by and they start dropping some nitro on him, the spider, and then they crash land on it, and we get a little fight sequence, and between Will and the mutants that live,
where all the bad guys let Will beat them up.
No, he skillfully beat them,
bruh. You cannot say that with a straight face. You fucking know that is not true. You saw it on screen that it's not true.
He's a very talented, athletic person.
The last bad guy just fell over dead for no fucking reason at all.
Which one was that? The dumb one? The metal guy?
Yes.
I thought he hit him with a bunch of stuff.
He hit him with the wrench a couple times.
Mm-hmm.
But literally the wrench wasn't working, so he just handed the fucking wrench to him. And then that guy just falls over dead for no fucking reason at all.
Because the damage was done, okay? I don't care if you have a metal plate in your head. If I hit you with a wrench, it's still going to probably kill you.
See, I took it as that guy was already dead, though. I thought that guy was like, you know, the mountain.
A mechanical?
Yeah.
No. They just obviously replaced parts of him with metal.
He was like Frankenstein's monster.
Kinda, yeah.
I thought
they all kinda were.
I was thought he was already dead.
These are his Lovelace's machinists? Workers?
Ninjas.
One was a ninja. Yeah. But he learned that from a Chinaman. You know, when he puts the tarantulas in the cake, it's a little White House cake or whatever.
Yeah.
And they open it up and they're like, oh, watch out. And the spiders will come out of the cake or whatever.
Yeah.
So tarantulas aren't poisonous.
I don't think those are tarantulas, though.
You don't think they were?
They call them something else. They don't call them tarantulas.
They didn't say what they were.
Yeah, they did, actually. I can't remember what they called them, though.
All he said was marmalade?
No. Gordon looks at the cake and says, oh, is that made with blah?
Marmalade.
Not marmalade. It's something else. It's like a icing or whatever.
Mm-hmm.
And Grant's like, oh, don't touch that. And then spiders come out of it. And he says what the spiders are. But I cannot remember what the hell he called the spiders.
I don't think he says what they were.
He really did.
Did he?
Wow. Yeah. They said the name of the spiders. This movie was so fucking bad. All their test audiences absolutely hated it. They pumped another $40 million into this to try to make it watchable.
Mm-hmm.
And in my opinion, they fucking failed.
So
this is not good.
It was $170 million budget.
Yeah.
And I think it got what?
Worldwide, it got $220 million.
Mm-hmm.
But I texted you today whenever I looked up the article on budgetary and like what this thing made. And half the articles I saw were literally talking about during this time period, teenagers were buying tickets for Wild Wild West and then walking into the South Park movie.
Mm. I mean, I just got a ticket for the South Park movie.
Well, there's a difference. You had somebody with you.
Yeah, my mom took me.
Yeah.
But, not the best influence.
You know, 14, 15-year-olds could go buy a ticket for a PG-13 movie.
Yeah.
And then walk into a different movie. And that's a lot of the domestic box office for this.
Which, I mean, this had nudity. At least South Park didn't have nudity.
It wasn't intentional, and they obviously missed it.
I don't think they did. That was definitely a very intentional camera angle.
Well, yeah, it was. It was a suggestive camera angle, and it was supposed to be. But I don't think that it just got by the censors.
Yeah.
You know, shit happens. I'm sure the censors didn't want to watch this horse shit either.
I mean, that, you know, maybe they just liked it.
Okay. So
it's not sexual. Because, you know, back then you could have PG-13 movies with nudity, like Titanic, as an example. And I think Avatar had some nudity. But
when this opened, it was still $10 million behind its competitors on that same weekend. I can't remember what it was going up against that weekend.
It wasn't South Park?
I don't think it was. I think South Park came in another week or two later.
Okay.
But, yeah, that's why they were saying, like, the ticket sales spikes in this correlate with South Park coming out.
Mm-hmm.
So people really do think that people were just buying a ticket to this and then walking into South Park.
I mean, maybe. I've definitely snuck into a couple of rated R movies in my time.
Yeah. I mean, same.
I was a kid, you know.
Yeah.
But, I mean, it has its flaws.
Yeah. That, but, I mean, you know, go ahead. I'm sorry.
I didn't really hate this. Like, I liked the steampunk aspect and the characters and acting and everything. And it's goofy and has some Looney Tunes moments. But over and all, I don't know. It just reminded me of my childhood, I guess.
I can think of too many movies that come before this that do this thing better.
Mm-hmm.
And I can definitely think of one major one that come after this that did it way better.
Cowboys vs. Aliens?
No. Django.
You thought Django and this have anything similar in common?
Yeah, I do.
All right. I don't see the link besides there's a black guy on a horse.
No. It's not necessarily just that. I mean, think about the similarities. So Django takes place right before the Civil War, right?
Okay, this is after.
Right. So it's almost the same time period. I feel like Jamie Foxx and Will Smith's characters are very similar.
One's a cowboy. One's a hitman or a bounty hunter.
Yes.
And the other one is a U.S. Army officer.
Right. I feel like their side characters are somewhat similar. Their chief bad guy is an over-the-top, like, Southern racist guy.
Mm-hmm.
Like, these things are very similar. Like, I feel like Django was a great film. And
this, Django was a great film. I feel like it did
better than this. Also, before this, I mean, come on. When you talk about like slapstick comedy and a black lead playing off of a white side character, fucking Blazing Saddles.
Mm-hmm.
Jesus, that was so much better than this.
Well, Blazing Saddles came out before this, right?
It did the racist comedy better because it just fucking went for it.
Mm-hmm.
Right? This had racist comedy in it that just didn't go for it.
I mean, it didn't feel like this was trying to be overly vertent, like a racist or about race or anything. They just happen to have, you know, the whole racist comedy you're talking about is where Will Smith and Loveless are engaged with each other, right?
Well, not just that.
They're going back and forth, and he's making crippled jokes because he's lost his legs. His legs in the war.
Right.
And then Loveless is making slave jokes. So, I mean, I don't think, you know, it's really they're trying to make it about that. It was just the back and forth.
Well, they also have the set piece of him doing improv stand-up at his own lynching.
Yeah.
Yeah. Another example, they try to do racist comedy in this movie, and they just don't fucking go for it.
Well, I just think it was because of the setting, and they're in the South. I didn't think it was racist. I don't know.
Okay. All right. I mean, that's fine.
Yeah.
I do think it was.
I mean, it's about that. I mean, I don't know.
Yeah. It's 100% about that.
Mm-hmm.
Like, honestly, he would have never been let into this party.
No. They said that he said at the beginning of this, like, you're probably like, there's no way they'd let you in. Right.
Right. And it's also another situation of literally you have the protagonist and the antagonist right there. Literally all that has to happen is one has to shoot the other. And this movie just doesn't happen.
Mm-hmm.
There's actually no reason for him not to shoot James West in front of all these fucking white people that would not give a shit anyways. As soon as he looked up and said, "Oh, Mr. West," he just should have just shot him.
Well, we don't know he's a villain quite yet.
Yeah.
Well, they don't know he's a villain.
Absolutely know
he's
a villain. We
do, but, they don't know.
They know. They know. They 100% know.
Well, I mean, there's no proof.
He literally gives a racist speech about the surrender at Appomattox during the Civil War.
Yeah.
And yeah, this is not a good guy.
But just because
it's the equivalent of
hasn't broken any laws. That's the difference.
Oh my goodness. It's the equivalency to listening to like a fucking Hitler rally and be like, well, you know, he hasn't broken any laws yet. I don't know if he's a bad guy or not.
Exactly. They couldn't do anything about it yet, right?
Okay. But I'm just saying there's no reason for the bad guy not to just fucking shoot him.
Well,
there's no reason he wouldn't.
It's the same thing that he knows that they can't do anything about it yet, right?
Yeah, but he would still just fucking shoot him.
No.
He's in a room full of people that are actually on his side. There's no reason not to.
He might lose supporters. You know, big election coming up, bro.
He's not going to lose supporters. He's not running for office. He doesn't give a shit about an election.
He wants, you know, his own country.
No, he doesn't actually.
Yeah, he does. He wants his own chunk of land, which that's his own country. He'd rule that area. That would be his land. He'd be a country.
The entire plot of this was to give their land back to everybody who owned it before. That's why the Native American was there.
Mm-hmm.
That's why the Mexicans were there. That's why the British were there. The
Native Americans didn't have a cut.
Yes, they did.
Did they? What area?
Everything out west.
No.
Look at the map again. I'm serious. I am serious about that.
Everything out west was, they had Mexico.
Yeah, and from then, Texas down.
Yep, and then above that was Loveless.
I thought that was all Native American land.
No, that was his. That was all his land.
Okay, well.
And then it's over to where the French got the Louisiana Purchase.
Yeah, and the Spanish got Florida and the Southeast back.
Yep,
and then Britain got the 13 colonies back.
Yep, and then France had a chunk out there somewhere.
Yeah.
Yeah, I think it was like Midwest or something. Yeah.
Yeah, I mean, Louisiana was going back to France.
Yeah, okay, yeah.
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 But, no, I thought everything out west was Native Americans, and that's why.
I mean, maybe they're going with them, but I don't know why. He just happened to have a Native American henchman. I guess he was good at killing people.
I guess. I don't know.
But no, he that was all his territory.
Okay.
Yeah.
I thought it was for Native Americans, and that's why he had Native Americans with him.
That was Loveless Land. He only had the one.
Oh. I thought he had more than that.
At the end of it, Grant makes them, he says, I'm starting a Secret Service, right?
Mm-hmm.
And he makes them both agents. Which Lincoln, so Grant was 18th, Lincoln was 16th president, right? Lincoln actually was the first one to create the Secret Service.
Yeah, it was over taxation, right?
Mm-hmm.
Or counterfeit money. It's counterfeit money.
Yeah, they're trying to cull the counterfeit money.
Yeah, I thought it was something around U.S. currency.
Yeah.
I didn't know it was Lincoln that made the Secret Service, though.
So. Mm-hmm. Yeah. So not quite accurate. How much did you hate this?
Oh, man, a lot. I really did. I hated it a lot. It's not as offensively bad as Jack and Jill. So, I mean, it's not a 10. There's so much waste. This is very disappointing. It's such a fucking disappointing movie. Now I could see so many ways that this movie would have been better. I bet this movie looked really good on paper.
Yeah.
You know, I bet it looked really good on paper. And by the time it went through four different fucking writers, it looked like this dog shit.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know. It's at least a 7 or an 8. Like, it's really not good. You know, you think about it. There were so many actors that were almost tied to this. Like, George Clooney was supposed to be his sidekick.
I guess it would have been.
But George Clooney took a look at the script and then said, no, mm-hmm. no. At first, he was like, yeah, I'm totally in. Fucking Will Smith, blown box office, the biggest fucking thing in the 90s. Hell yeah, I'm in. Then he asked for a script change and then looked at the script and was like, nope, I'm fucking out. This looks like dog shit. So we lost George Clooney.
Man, it's real sad because, you know, right after coming off the hills of fucking Batman Forever, you know, he was a real hype there.
Yeah.
Real hype train.
He had actually good movies in the 90s, though.
He did. I'm saying. But this is shortly after
yeah,
that piece of shit that he signed up to. But I guess if you get the option to be Batman, you just kind of take it without reading anything, right?
The fact that, like I said before we even started talking about this, the fact that Will Smith took this movie over The Matrix, that kind of blows my mind.
I don't think... I like Will Smith. It's an actor.
Yeah.
But he wouldn't have done well in that role.
But, I mean, if you're doing script reads and you read a rough draft for The Matrix, not knowing about anything about a 2 or 3 that would come out later and just be not good.
Yeah.
But if you look at the first Matrix.
Or 4.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I still haven't watched it.
It's not good either.
But if you look at the rough draft for that versus the rough draft for this,
mm-hmm.
it's kind of obvious which one's going to be the bigger blockbuster.
I mean...
Right.
I mean, if you look at Matrix as a whole before they finalize the script and everything, it probably seems all over the place and goofy. Like, the whole concept back then probably was just like pretty far out there, and it was a risky movie.
Yeah.
And this is more of a straightforward action comedy movie,
mm-hmm.
and The Matrix was not. And that's what Will Smith does. think about the other movies like Men in Black and Independence Day. Like, he wouldn't have fit. That role wouldn't have fit well in The Matrix. Neo couldn't have been sitting there goofing off half the movie, you know?
Yeah, but I feel like The Matrix could have been a great opportunity for him to actually transfer into a serious actor, which is something he had never done up until that point. And...
But he got his opportunity later.
Yeah.
And he's done some really good work since then. Like, 7 Pounds is a fucking depressing movie, but it's really good.
Jesus Christ, open a vein.
Yeah, Pursuit of Happiness was fantastic. The one about the concussions, concussion, that was a...
Yeah.
I mean, yeah, all those... He does serious roles really well, but he just hadn't transitioned there. He was still on that action comedy kick.
Yeah.
He was still the Fresh Prince.
Yeah. Man, this lost him a lot of money. I know they made $220, but you know they spent way more than that.
I mean, probably. I mean, it's not him. He still gets paid.
Well, I know he still gets paid.
But it's a definitely... If I had to choose on Hate Meter, I'd probably go 3 or 4. Like, I didn't hate this. I enjoyed it. I enjoyed it as a kid. I still could watch it now. It's not unbearable. I still enjoyed parts of it. And I liked the villains and stuff, so, and the steampunk aspect. But yeah, overall, it wasn't that bad. I guess that's all we have to say about that. So thanks for joining us. Hit us up on any of our social media, aka YouTube comments.
Yeah, all the places.
I deleted our Twitter account because I hate Twitter. So
that's Twitter. It's not Twitter, it's X.
I don't care what the fuck it is. And I'm not joining Facebook's this bullshit thing now. But we're on Facebook if you want to look us up there. Anyways, thanks for joining us, everyone. I'm going to go and laugh at Danny as he breaks as a human being.
Sure.
All right, bye.
See you later, guys.